when we got him for Lance on that fourth round pick that we got from the Cowboys. Now he's putting work in against that team. The stuff that I saw in the first half, the penalties were just killing us. I think Shanahan in the half said, hey guys, we just got to clean up the penalties, stop hurting ourselves. And then the defense, you know, those mistakes, letting CD just wide open. I think they showed, this was lining up to be kind of like one of those games where, oh, I can't believe it's happening again, but that four and out that, you know, right. the defense stepped up. They sealed the game, which is
no doubt, Miguel. And you know what? You brought up something, Miguel. They could go on a run here, right? Again, I look at track records and I put a lot of stock into track records and trends with this particular guy, and it's Kyle Shanahan and the way he's coached his team. They get better as the season goes along because why? They love to run the ball and they love to be physical. They're a bully, and that wears teams down. They have a team that's built for all seasons. They can play in the cold. They can play. We'll see if they can play in the rain. We know quarterback has issues in the rain, but what quarterback doesn't have issues in the rain? We'll see about that. But for the most part, in November and December, the Niners played their best football under Kyle Shanahan. If you throw out 2020, the season where they had to move to Glendale, Arizona for the last 5 weeks of the season, 2019, 2021, 2022, 2023. They have an overall record in the month of November and December of 24-7. That's 17 games over 500 when it's time to play your winning football. 24-7 in the months of November and December when you tally it up in 2019, 2021, 2022, 2023. So why should I not, Vontae Hill or Joe Shasky, believe in Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers turning their season around and going on the run? I don't care who they played before in the previous eight games. I don't care what their schedules look like. They've got four wins. They've got four losses. But yet, they're on top of the NFC West next to Seattle and Arizona. And they play all those teams, the Rams, Seattle, and Arizona. They got dates with them later in the season. Arizona last game of the year. They got the Seahawks in a couple weeks. You got the Rams on a Thursday night. All I'm saying is 24-7 in the month of November and December. Shanahan and company have proven they play their best football in the final 2 months of the regular season.
It does feel like with Ricky Pearsall emerging, you know, he had a really nice performance yesterday. I was very pleasantly surprised with what I saw from him.
Very encouraged.
Very much so. And seeing Debo look, I thought Debo looked awesome. Obviously, he's got the rib stuff and got to stay healthy. And Kittle plus Garendo, maybe Mason. Maybe CMC. They've got enough firepower offensively.
Juwan Jennings?
Yeah, I didn't even think of Juwan. You know what? You're right. I didn't even think of Juwan Jennings. That's a really good point.
So now,
it just feels like they have enough firepower on offense to get it done. So, like, the Brandon Ayuk loss to me was just devastating, right? I was devastated. Right. I'm thinking, how are they going to move the ball? But seeing Pearsall make a bunch of little, like, just simple acrobatic plays, simple catches, I says, you know, they might not be in such a bad spot. Look, you're going to miss Ayuk, and there's going to be a point in time where we're going to miss him. There's going to be a defense that stifles you. But I think they have enough offense to get it done.
Pearsall's going to, like, these rookie wide receivers are looking at Keon Coleman at Buffalo, Labakaki with the LA Chargers, Leggett with the Carolina Panthers. These rookie wide receivers, Brian Thomas Jr. in Jacksonville.
He's having a great
year.
We're
going to watch Malik Nabers tonight. Marvin Harrison Jr. with the Arizona Cardinals. Maybe this rookie class was deep at the wide receiver position. Xavier Worthy in Kansas City. Listen, Pearsall may be that dude. And him moving the chains on those subtle little third and fives, second and sixes, third and four. This is a great sign for the 49ers moving forward. I'm telling you, the best football is yet to come, is ahead of them, I should say.
I'm with you. And on the Pearsall thing, like, we don't need 8-9 catches for 120. We need like 4 or 5 catches. 3, you know, like crucial chain mover situations. I still think Cowie needs to get somehow integrated into the offense. I think that's a speed element that a couple times a game could really help you.
Let's go to, you're so right about that. Let's go to Vinny in Motown. Vinny, what's happening?
What's up, fellas? Hey, man, that game had me in shambles yesterday. So I'm thinking the first half, I'm like, damn, we're still in this funk. Why can't we get out of it? This is the Cowboys. We own these guys. And then the second half, I'm thinking, okay, that third quarter, that 21-0, we're like, all right, this looks like the Niners are old. So I think some of the things that I seen yesterday, because I was thinking, man, at the end of the game, I'm thinking, man, we're about to collapse. This reminds me of Arizona. This reminds me of the Rams. So then I'm thinking, okay, cool. What did I like about the game yesterday? I like that whoever, whether it was Mason or Shanahan or the running back coach, Bobby Turner, they pulled out Mason and they said, look, we love that you're a gamer, but when you seen Garendo pop in that second half in that first drive and he's coming out and they can't stop the kid right there, that tells you that's just fresh legs. He's hitting them holes, he's going, and you know, pretty much the rest of the game, he controlled it, and then he seals it with that game when he run at the end. So I'm thinking, okay, that's a good move, whoever made that move. Shanahan getting Kittle the ball, recognizing the defense in the first half. He's like, let me get some of these plays that I can get Kittle open. And you start to see the 49ers are showing flashes. That last drive where they're holding the Cowboys on a four and out when they could have went down and scored, like we've seen pretty much all year happening to the Niners. It's just like that. You're seeing flashes. So I'm really hoping that these guys get healthy, because I'm looking at the other side of the bye. And you got Tampa Bay without their two top receivers.
Yep.
You got the Seahawks, who we can take control of. And then you got the Packers, who I don't know if you've seen Jordan Love in a groin injury yesterday, but they might not be at full strength.
No.
This is the time to take advantage of it going down the stretch. 7-4 is what I'm seeing for the Niners going to that Bills game. And then I'm thinking they can do some damage in that second half. I like what I see from the team in yesterday.
I'm thinking at least 6-4, Vinny. 6-4 at least. I'll get to Green Bay when we get to Green Bay. That'd be a tough game there, Bishaski. We were in the thread yesterday. I do believe they come out of the break. Tampa Bay's vulnerable. I don't believe in Todd Bowles' coach teams. I'm just sorry.
Well, they also, I know they're out Godwin and Evans. They also lost another receiver.
Sterling Shepard, hamstring.
And they lost a linebacker.
Yep. So they're banged up.
They're very banged
up. They're really. And I do think this offense could move the ball on that defense. So coming out of the bye week on the road, kind of like last year, coming out of the bye week, you're going to Florida. You know, last year they went to Jacksonville, and we were kind of like, oh, man, what is going to happen here? And they sent Jacksonville on a tailspin. That was the start of Jacksonville's downfall playing the 49ers. Well, Tampa Bay, it's really great now. And then you play Seattle. Something's amiss with the Seahawks.
I don't know what to make of them. I don't know. Like, and McDonald, I think they're in transition. Like, they did a great job with Geno Smith squeezing the lemon for what it's worth. I do think they need to draft a quarterback of the future.
No doubt.
Like, Geno had a really good little run for them. Like, yeah. He was way better than I thought that he was going to be. I was pulling for him, but it's just like, I feel like they're at a crossroads.
Yep. 408, Comcast Business Text Line. It's Dallas, fellas. Take it easy. Well, it's the NFL. I'm not going to take it
The
easy.
Ravens lost yesterday.
To the Cleveland Browns.
To team that literally looked right. Like one of the worst offenses historically right. By data we have ever seen in our lives.
I'm not going to relax off a win against the Dallas Cowboys.
Hear what I'm I will not. Say about Dallas. They had three consecutive illegal formations on kick returns.
How?
I don't even know how that happens.
They're so poorly coached.
Like, we're bad on special teams. We looked right. Buttoned up yesterday compared to them.
Like
and they almost had a fumble on one of them.
Like, the Chargers are 4-3. You think Charger fans right now are complaining about their strength of schedule?
No.
This isn't the BCS. This isn't college football. You win the games that are presented for you, and you control what you control. You don't control the opponent. You control how you play.
Did you see the late hit on Herbert's ankle and leg?
That was bad.
Dude.
That was the guy should have been kicked out the game.
And then that lineman diving on him?
I love that. I loved every second of that.
Old school football.
I loved every second of that. Back the hell up, homie. Back up.
How dirty was that?
Very dirty. Very dirty. All right, we're going to get to Rhea Lancaster on the other side. Manny on a dump Martin Bridge. 888-957-9570. Oh, we got 2 minutes now? Oh, not 7-11? All right, well, let's go to Rhea. Hey, you said two minutes ago. Rhea Lancaster, what's happening?
Good morning, everyone, on this win-win Monday morning. My Niners pulled out the win. My Clippers showed up and pulled out the win. I was like, who scheduled this anyway? My head was exploding trying to go back and forth, but my Niners got the bulk of my attention last night. So I just want to say I feel very comfortable about our rookie class, our depth, the second half of the season. I feel like things are going to right. The ship is going to, you know, start getting like on the right track, and where everything is going to be okay. I feel like we're going to be a little more buttoned up, because I don't feel like we were buttoned up.
No doubt.
To start this season. And also, can I just say, this is the first game where I'm like, I'm not Shanahan wasn't having me screaming too much, but I need him not to run on 3rd and 10 and pass on 4th and 3. Yeah. I need you not to do that. Come on, let's make better decisions.
The Kyle Juszczyk, we're just going to take the field goal, 3rd and 16 gun run.
You didn't like that, Rhea? Yeah. You don't like that? I got a kick out of it.
It was okay, but I didn't love it.
No. He's just got to, I don't know, he needs to get better, a little bit better. He was better yesterday, but he needs to get a little bit better in certain situations.
No, I hear you.
We need to lock down. Amador Lenore needs to go nowhere. You lock him down. And I need Jair and Renardo not to run into each other on the field. I don't know. Let's fix that.
Yeah.
Whatever we're doing, you know.
It's a young secondary. There's no doubt. And that's why you brought up Amador Lenore. They've got to find a way to keep this guy.
Oh, they will. They will.
Bonte, that catch on the sideline was so good.
Listen. NFL teams, NBA teams, for the most part, the players a lot they keep. They find a way. They find a way. The Niners will find a way to keep Lenore. He's not going anywhere. He'll be a Niner for a long time.
That catch to contort his body and get the elbow down, helmet down, that was sick.
He's a West Coast kid. He ain't going nowhere. He's going to be wearing that too for the red and gold for the foreseeable future. I don't worry about
him. He's so good.
We'll get to Manny on the Joe Martin Bridge, 888-957-9570. Again, we're reacting to Sunday night's win. Sunday night football, the Niners beat the hated Dallas Cowboys. Doesn't it feel good? Doesn't it feel good, folks? 888-957-9570 is the number. That's what's coming up. Your phone calls brought to you by Life Source Water Systems.
How about them Cowboys? Yeah!
Went into this year, we thought it'd be real hard for a lot of the rookies to earn starting positions just where our team was at, but believed that they were going to give us some real good depth, and you hope to have some good luck and stuff and not have to get to that, but we haven't in all areas, and unfortunately that a lot of those guys are players. They showed it in preseason, and when their number's been called, they've all come in and done their job, and they all continue to get better too.
I want to thank you guys, Shasky, and I listen to you guys every single morning on the way to work. You guys make my morning drive way better.
You heard from Shanahan right there. By the way, when the red gold win, our listeners win. Yeah! Yeah! Hell yeah! The morning after every victory, be sure to tune in to the Morning Rolls for your chance to win a jersey today. It'll be in about 11 and a half minutes, so stay tuned for that. Presented by Habba's Law. Because Habba's Law always puts people in the best position to win. 650 Comcast Business Text Line. This is how you do us. No Warrior segment. Did bring someone on cheering for the Clippers. Like, I forgot Rhea Lancaster was a Clipper fan. I forgot. But you know what? The Clippers deserved credit yesterday. They dictated tempo, dictated pace, points in the paint. They outscored the Warriors in the paint 58-38. 58-38. They took away the threes. How about the passing numbers? The passing numbers.
The highlights.
The Warriors had 19 assists after having 73 in the first two games. Only 19 assists last night. So the Clippers turned the Warriors into an isolation team. So you got to give them credit. But the turnovers are sloppy. Got them off to a bad start. And every time the Warriors would cut the lead to 3-2-1. 3-2-1. The Clippers had an answer. They go on a 6-0 run, 7-0 run, 8-0 run, 5-0 run. So, Steve Kerr, without Stephen Curry here, and we'll get the MRI today about his left ankle. We're going to be a little, that's the big talking point when it comes to the Golden State Warriors. What's up with Stephen Curry? Because you can have all the depth in the world. Everything revolves around number 30. So, will Kuminga get going? Will Steve Kerr shorten the rotation? Will Kyle Anderson get more than 3.5 minutes like he did last night? Draymond Green, where is he at? He didn't play the last 8 minutes, basically. Kerr said, no, had nothing to do with the injury. It had everything to do with the lineup that got us back into the basketball game because Kevon Looney was playing well. And he's had a good start to the season.
the amount of people, I was doing the boxing, the fights in the fog, fire department versus the police on Saturday. The amount of people at the Irish Center who said, you give Bonte this Buddy Hield Steph Curry nickname. Buddy Hield is like a fan favorite. Yeah. Everybody is in love with him. I couldn't believe how many nicknames I heard from people on Saturday night.
It was because I've heard a lot about Buddy Hield and people taking shots at Clay, but how many people loved the 3-for-14 and what a night for the 3-point line last night?
I don't know how many people were absolutely tapped in like you and I were.
Yeah, look, I love Buddy Buckets.
I had double screen going.
Buddy Buckets have been balling, and I love Buddy Buckets. But the Clippers were very aware of Buddy Hield, and wherever he went on the floor, they were all over him. All over him. 3-for-14 overall. What a night from the 3-point line. Now, Buddy did have 6 rebounds. I thought he passed the ball better. He passed the ball very well Friday night in Utah. However, yesterday, that shot, the Clippers are all over him. So he was 1-of-9. So we'll see how much love affair last year for Buddy Hill. But I like Buddy Buckets. But now, if they don't have Steph Curry for an extended period of time, the scouting report, Buddy Hill goes up the ladder. Andrew Wiggins goes up the ladder. All of a sudden, Kevon Looney goes up the ladder, and all of a sudden, you're going to get a lot more attention from opposing defenses without number 30, Stephen Curry, because Stephen Curry obviously draws a lot of attention.
Your Andrew Wiggins assessment earlier this year, I'm buying stock in Andrew Wiggins. The early returns are quite positive.
I'm buying stock in Andrew Wiggins.
They're very positive.
No one's saying to sell now, but it's an all-time high.
You have to hold.
No,
hold.
No, the stock is just rising.
Stock because he looks fantastic. Kuminga, we'll get into that at some point.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Draymond Green, I thought yesterday, I don't know, something was up. I don't want to say that. I'm not going to question someone like mailing it in because I saw a lot of people putting like, he's mailing it in. It wasn't a good game.
Well,
it just wasn't.
He wasn't going to play Friday night. He was limping around and then obviously you see the knee yesterday and he didn't have it going yesterday. He just didn't have it going. I thought Zubac did a great job. Now I see Zubac credited with 18 rebounds now. Wow. 18 rebounds.
Yeah, Zubac.
We had 17
destroyed.
Last night. They must have gave him a rebound overnight. He was unbelievable. Now, Looney did his thing. Looney with the double-double. And I think Looney's been off. He's got 15 offensive rebounds to start the season. Come on, Looney. 15 offensive rebounds in just 3 games. That's 5 a game. That's got to be near the leaderboard in the NBA through the first 3 games. But they need a little more to paint. They got outscored 58-38. TJD, he got outmanned yesterday. 4 points, just 1 rebound from Chase Jackson-Davis. So Looney yesterday had it going. TJD didn't. Draymond didn't. So we're going to see. Pelicans coming in without Trey Murphy, the third, and DeJounte Murray, who's going to be out for 4-6 weeks. But they're still bringing in Zion. They're still bringing in Brendan Ingram. And they still have CJ McCollum. So Warriors are on alert here. This is a big 2-game stretch. And they need to win at home, Shasky.
Yeah.
They were 21-20 at home last season. You've got to protect home court. And every time the crowd tried to get into it, they couldn't because of the turnovers, big baskets by the Clippers. And it was sloppy yesterday.
You know, I don't think there's anybody's at fault. Sometimes things just happen the way they happen because it's tough to manipulate the schedule. But just sucky to have a Warrior home opener the exact same time as Niners Cowboys of all games.
It's just,
it just sucks.
Yeah, no, it was terrible.
You know, the vibes.
I had withdrawals.
What?
I had withdrawals. Because it just, you know, for me, like, I'll be selfish here and talk about me for a second. Just, you know what's going on during the game while I'm watching the Warriors. You know what's going on, but you're not involved in Twitter. You're not involved in the text messages. Then you go home. You already know the outcome, and you're watching it over.
It does.
I see some of the plays, and you just don't feel kind of out of the loop, you know? And so that's tough when you do a job like this. But, yeah, hopefully we never see that again.
I just didn't love it. And I know each of these teams wants to operate like, hey, we're the most important. And I get that. Like, if I ran either one of these teams, I would feel like my team is more important than the others or whatever. But you also have to recognize the power of football. And I think the NBA as a whole, like, this is more of an NBA issue than a Warrior one.
Yep.
I just think that the NBA as a whole needs to realize, like, your calendar is best suited to not conflict with football in the months of October, November, and into December. And I would do the best I can to push my season into the June, July months where you have carte blanche.
Yep. No doubt.
But anyway, you didn't see it then probably, but they did this whole intro on Sunday Night Football.
No, I watched everything. When I went home, I watched the whole damn thing.
So, Saweetie, I don't even know if you're...
Saweetie.
Is it just Sweetie?
Yeah.
Because it's Saweetie. Anyway, she's doing this long like soliloquy as they kind of break from Sunday Night Football pregame to the actual broadcast. And she's going on and on. And I know they had like a Do It for the Bay song, her and P-Lo, which I had already heard like maybe earlier this year or whatever.
Yeah.
And she goes, yeah, I'm Willie Harper's granddaughter. I'm like, what? What? I couldn't believe that. Played for the 49ers.
Oh, yeah,
linebacker for like 10 years.
Yeah.
I believe played in the USFL, too. I could be mistaken there. And she's also a relative of Josh Harper, who we've had on the show, who played at Fresno State.
Did we have Josh Harper on the show?
Yeah. Play. Or at least we've played his sound from different podcasts, the Fresno State wide receiver. So just super random. I couldn't believe it. And then they had the photographer from the catch kind of narrate the beginning montage of the Cowboy Niner, you know, old school dynasty rivalry and all that stuff. And I just thought that Sunday Night Football, in terms of a presentation, they do such a great job building up the matchup between Niners Cowboys.
No, the intro was great. I live for those intros there. Saweetie, half Filipino, according to the 925, half Filipino there. And then you see the high school spotlight, which you asked Mike Tirico about. It's my boys at De La Salle. How about that? When he crushed Monta Vista 42-7. I was hoping Jaden got some airtime there on the low. But that quarterback that they have, he's a lefty, number 13, senior now. He's a good player. They're going to be playing for a state championship now. Matter day, who's going to be in the open division? I saw St. John Bosco come up here and play Sarah High School. And they were the real deal. Like, I was like, wow, St. John Bosco's tough. Matter day, be St. John Bosco Friday night, 59-14. It was a worse loss. Coach Negro is his name, I want to say. Anyway, he had never had a running clock as the coach of St. John Bosco. They had the running clock against St. John Bosco on Friday night. Matter day, dropped 59 on those dudes. Like, that never happens in that rivalry, ever. 59-14, so Matter Day looks like the real deal.
Well, I have a saying when it comes to coaching. You coach long enough, you'll see everything. You'll be on all sides of the equation.
And he was on that.
Yeah, so
he had to wear it out.
You know, it evened itself out, I guess, to some degree.
I know everything.
Say the Nation's Wildcats, big win over Valley Christian.
It's like one of their best football seasons in a long time. Forever.
No, they're balling right now. They're balling. All right. We'll get to Manny on the DeMarton Bridge. Quick update about Christian McCaffrey. Let's get to Manny, then we'll have an update on Christian McCaffrey. Manny, what's happening?
Man, good morning, fellas, and I mean good morning. I'm going to preface this win by the fact that, just like every fan, I play fantasy football, and I was playing against the commish, who happens to be my boy. And going into the game, I was down by 45 points because Hurts had that monster game against Cincy, and I only had two players left. Pickens, and yep, you guessed it, number 13 himself. And I was like, realistically, if I got 22 points from both of these guys, I could pull off the win. But with Purdy, I've got, you know, sucking chest wound and walking pneumonia as his receiver. So I was really worried. Man, when they forced Dallas to kick the field goal and not give up the touchdown, I said, you know what? We have a legit chance to win this game. The other caller that said relax is just Dallas? No, I'm not going to relax just because it's Dallas. It's Dallas. Now, I'm going to give flowers, if I could, to a lot of people as fast as I can. Number one, number 85. There is a reason why you have 500 catches and you're six away from breaking Dwight Clark. Can you guys imagine that? George Kittle is going to pass up Dwight Clark sooner rather than later, and he deserves every praise imaginable for putting that game on his back. Man, just him motoring and trying to hurdle and do everything he could to get into the end zone, I think that set the tone for the rest of the game for all the players around him. Oh, I mean, it got Ricky Pierce all fired.
Mm-hmm. Keep going, Manny. Keep going.
Yeah, it got Ricky fired up. I mean, the way how Pierce all was playing, it's just as if he were playing in college, man. He was making those exact same catches. If you look at his college reels, look at how he's playing. He hasn't missed a beat. And I'm excited for that because I was like, you know what? He could be legitimately in line to take over when we need him too. Now, as far as Shasky, you mentioned it. The one thing that I was concerned about was if that was CMC, that would have been six. But Jordan Mason kind of was hesitant to hit the hole. I can't remember what point in the game it was, but he got stuffed. And if that was CMC, that would be six. But that's okay. I understand the boy is hurt. But now I'm going to crown a new Thunder and Lightning. You know what? Let's go with Mason and Guerrero until we get CMC back. Because Guerrero, where are those wheels when we needed it most? You showed it yesterday. I was like, they couldn't even emphasize enough that he ran a 4.340. I was like, yeah. He's got the speed that we've been lacking, and I was excited to see it, you know. And you know, another caller touched on it. Niner fans that were giving up their red and gold cards, guess what? 21-0 in the third quarter. Where y'all at now?
Well, that's what happens after a win. It's a thing. It's time to give away a jersey. The 10th caller to the contest. To call the contest line at 415-523-4652. That's 415-523-4652. Will win a jersey. 415-523-4652. Be the 10th caller to call the contest line right now. Presented by Habba's Law. Because Habba's Law always puts people in the best position to win. It is fascinating to me. It is fascinating to me. 888-957-9570. The amount of calls when a loss happens. And I always say losses are good for business because the wackadoodles will call. Everybody will. Like, I'm going to call out David Fresno. He's becoming one of my favorite callers because he challenges me. Where's David Fresno? Where's Robin Tambruno? What does TC in Sacramento have to say? What about Tyler Miller? What about all everybody who wants to fire Shanahan or say Shanahan's on some sort of hot seat?
The downfall is near and it's coming hard.
Are we sure the downfall is near? I think there's better times ahead.
I want to get into the, you know, George Kittle passing Dwight Clark for just a second.
And Roger Craig.
I want to start with Dwight Clark. When you say the name Dwight Clark, because of his passing and because of the disease that he had, like, there's a lot that's baked into it. But part of the Dwight Clark story, a big part of it, is that this guy came out of nowhere. He played on a team with a top quarterback in college at Clemson and a top wide receiver. And he only had like 30 catches, something like that, like under like 600 yards in his entire college career. All right. Go look at George Kittle's Iowa career. Very similar. I'm looking at it right here, B. He had 48 catches for 700 yards. 48 catches for 700 yards. And so when Dwight Clark gets drafted in the 10th round by Bill Walsh, I remember reading in all his memoirs and all the books about the dynasty and everything, like his own assistants were like, Bill, what are you doing? You could sign this guy. No one wants this guy. He's, no, I want to get this guy. And he came out of nowhere and he put up unbelievable numbers for the 49ers for a long, long, long time. Eventually he ended up stepping away. And I look at George Kittle and what he's done coming out of nowhere, like, he is one of the great draft picks in 49er history. It's not even a question. T.O., Frank Gore, I'm talking about mid late round picks. Obviously, right. Joe Montana is one of the great ones of all time. Right. But Dwight coming out of nowhere in the 10th round is like all time legendary. George Kittle, fifth round pick with 40 catches in his college career,
yeah,
to be one of the greatest, most prolific pass catchers in Niner history. I don't think anyone's ever going to wear number 85 again. And it wasn't lost on me. Like, damn, dude, he passed Dwight Clark. And obviously Roger Craig. That's just unbelievable. I didn't think I'd see that coming.
Hasn't passed Dwight Clark yet, but he will.
He's going to.
He's got 500 catches. Dwight Clark, 506. Roger Craig, 508. T.O., 592. When it's all said and done, because I do think the Niners, this is the type of guy you want to extend. He's going to be number two all-time in 49ers history, franchise history. He's going to join the 600 club in 49ers franchise history. There's no doubt in my mind he will, because I think the Niners will extend him. Because you think about who George Kittle is. Look, he's at 40 catches and 503 yards. So he's on his way to back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons. If he goes for 1,000 this season, that'd be 4,000-yard seasons for the tight end position. Now, he also had 2021, where he only played in 14 games, and he had 910 receiving yards. All right? He had more yards or more catches as a rookie than he did in his entire career in Iowa.
That's crazy.
Right? Think about that. 40 catches in Iowa, 43 catches as a rookie with the San Francisco 49ers. And then where I'm getting to is, it's not only what you do on the field. in 49ers franchise, what made Dwight Clark stand out and Roger Craig stand out is what they did in the community, how they became ambassadors. That's why we love Jerry Rice. Well, George Kittle has taken on that role. He's become ambassador for this organization. He's great in the community. And who doesn't love the Kittles? I walk in the Kansas City game, you see the entire family. Hey, guys, how you doing? Hey, they're all polite and nice. And he brings the whole crew out. They're like 30 deep. 30 deep at these football games. They run a whole suite, for crying out loud. But this guy's an all-time niner. He really is. And I don't think we discussed, so when I brought up a couple, you know, when you mentioned it, I was just bringing it up because I don't think we do that enough. No. Again, we don't celebrate the good times enough in sports radio. That's what I want to focus on. The hell with the negativity, man. The hell with it. And George Kittle's a breath of fresh air.
And there's no doubt. And so, like, yesterday's game, just my this is my opinion. You know, I've been really high on Purdy. I thought his confidence looked completely shattered. And confidence is not something that I can quantify. I'm just saying, like, what I thought I saw.
He looked shook.
He did. He was missing open receivers. He was, even on the catches that he made, there was a pass to Kittle where he's rolling out. And Collins was like, Kittle was waiting forever for that ball. It was like a simple, you know, an 8 or 9 yard pass. And he, like, lobbed it into him. It felt like he was just kind of hesitant, tentative. Before, it felt like when he was rolling, he hit his back foot, bang, I'm gonna rip the ball down the field. And I'm like, what is going on with Purdy? And then the drive before half, that ball that he, like, pump faked on, like, what was happening? I'm going, is he in the Jimmy zone? Like, confident. I'm talking confidence wise. Yeah, the Jimmy zone. And then George Kittle get on the first play, bang, on that little middle crosser. And I'm saying to myself, Purdy looked like a completely different guy after that one play.
No, he did.
And I thought that George Kittle picked up his guy there. It was a great throw by Purdy. It's easy throw, but it was a great throw by Purdy to hit him on the crosser. And I just felt like the whole offense took a deep breath, and George put the team on his back again. I thought it was a monster play in the game.
One thing we don't touch on enough, we used to do this a lot. We talk about tone setters. Who's going to set the tone for the football team? And a tone setter could be, it could happen, you know, a tone could be set in the first quarter. Or juice, or a jolt. There's certain players who give a sideline jolt. There's certain players who make plays where the sideline wakes up and gets up off their ass, and they're like, okay, it's go time. Deebo's one of those players. Nick Bosa can be one of those players. Fred Warner is definitely one of those players who was setting the tone yesterday. We didn't mention Fred Warner. Oh my gosh, what a gladiator he is. But then there's also George Kittle. Because George Kittle doesn't like to go out of bounds and not inch out. He likes to truck you. He likes to run you over. He did in Seattle on a big play, third down, where he's like, yeah, I'm not running out of bounds. I'm looking to run right through you. Kind of like Jeremy Shockey and Julian Peterson at the goal line way back when in that wild card game, Giants and Niners. He's a tone setter for this team. He wakes this team up. He's a captain for a reason. So they go. This offense moving forward here. George Kittle understands what time it is. And I think what got lost in the shuffle last week after the Kansas City game, Travis Kelce said, hey, let's do this again in February. Ha-ha. And Kittle's like, okay. Yeah, sure. And I don't think that's lost on George Kittle.
Watching that receiver doc, like, I had an opinion of who he was before the receiver doc, and it totally changed after it. And not that I thought he was fake. I just thought it was like...
too much?
Everything was sticky. I thought everything was sticky, and not necessarily that it wasn't like real. It just felt very curated and not authentic. And then I do think he picks and chooses his time. The guy is really charming. That's number one. Like, he is. Yeah. Like, he's a very charming individual. It's hard to not smile when he's talking. But I actually underrated how authentic he is. I think that he truly is just an optimistic, upbeat individual. I thought it was a little, like, put on for the cameras.
Yep.
And I also realized his entire life is all about his family and football, and I respect the hell out of that.
He's got a little mini field in Nashville.
Yeah,
he's a workout warrior.
I got great respect for him, his family, and let him allowing the cameras to be in on it. It made me appreciate him in a way that I didn't before, and I feel kind of like stupid for questioning his authentic nature. No, I really do.
It's like fans, you know, it happens.
Because all we see is what we see at podiums and maybe on social media, and I think there's times like when the team loses a big game where you're just like, oh, come on. But then, like, when you see all the behind-the-scenes stuff that the Netflix doc provided, I realized, like, no, he's really like that. And I like him. I really like George Kittle.
I'm glad you do. I like him too. First time this season, 5-0 Comcast Business Text Line, that they made second half adjustments and outplayed their opponent. Cowboys are going to a six-man line. Chris Collinsworth kept pointing it out. Six-man line. So Shanahan said, you know what? We're hitting you with some play-action passes. We're not going to run against the six-man front. We'll hit you with the play-action passes, and we'll dice you up. And again, I think Shanahan, 888-957-9570, if you had to grade Shanahan's performance yesterday, what would your grade be? 888-957-9570, because I thought Shanahan scheming guys open. And you saw it on the Deebo play early in the football game where Kittle hits him down the right side and Kittle went for a touchdown. I had Kittle let him a little bit more. Not the first time we've talked about that over the last couple weeks. But lining up Deebo in that backfield, the little subtle motion, knowing that, oh, Eric Kendricks is guarding Deebo Samuel. There's no chance a linebacker is going to keep up with Deebo Samuel. So a great play design there. But who will Christian McCaffrey be in that backfield soon, Shasky? We have a report from Ian Rappaport, NFL Network insider. Here's what he had to say about CMC.
Kyle put you on the spot to ask about Christian McCaffrey, and you said what Peter just did to confirm that perhaps the optimism is that CMC would be back by after the 49ers bye week. Is it still tracking that way?
Yeah, that is my understanding. In fact, what teams do, they go mostly away for the bye weeks, but the 49ers are planning a bonus practice, which I think a lot of teams do. My understanding is Christian McCaffrey is expected to participate in that bonus practice, which will be the first time we see him, if reporters are allowed, out on the field in a while. And then he has been ramping up. He has been running, as we said, on flat ground, which is a great place to run, much better than in the whirlpool. And I would not be surprised if he is out there November 10th. That has been the target, and he has had no setbacks. So that is a very good thing for Christian McCaffrey.
When Ian Rappaport said he's been ramping up, and you hear a jingle in the background, I'm like, I just wanted to isolate that little track they had in the back. They were some NFL Network, they're geniuses, man. They got me going. When Rappaport said ramping up, and I heard that, and I'm imagining Christian McCaffrey as the team's on the practice field. McCaffrey's just, he's in the training room. They're stretching him out. He's putting the wristbands on. He's putting the eye black on. And then he just walks out on the practice field. And it's like, there he is. There's CMC. Come on, you know you like that stuff.
Well, I was envisioning when they were talking about the whirlpool, I'm envisioning him kind of like Darth Vader in his back to tank, you know, on Mustafar, where he's got this like cryogenic chamber that he's in. You know exactly what I'm talking about.
Who's Mustafar?
You don't know about Mustafar? It's
like
a lava planet.
You know, I don't know nothing about Star Wars.
Where he got sliced up. I mean, it's one of the great moments in, you know, cinematic history.
It's true.
A moment I've never seen.
When he became Darth Vader. You were the chosen one! Spadoni's ear to ear. He loved the way I was just rat-a-tat-tatting that. But that's the way I vision it. I'm very excited if they can get CMC back. Because Guerrero provides a level of speed that it does have a Raheem Mostert feel to it. He's got the turbo jets.
He does have some speed. Really, really good speed.
He made a couple of nice catches, too.
He did.
Out of the backfield.
He's got to get better at pass protection. He's got to get better at pass protection. That's the next step for him. That's what all running backs have to do, young running backs especially. That's what they miss from Christian McCaffrey. He knows how to protect the quarterback. Let's go to AW in San Francisco. AW. Is it AW or is it just AW?
JW.
AW?
Yeah, JW. Man.
Oh, JW. What up, JW?
Yeah. Hey, man, I was feeling kind of down, man, this kind of season with my Niners and Kyle Shanahan, and I was one of the guys that was kind of like on eggshells with Shanahan, man. But, you know, it's a long season, and we got to pull through, and we pulled through with that Cowboys game. And to keep it 100, Shasky, I was mad at my mom because, you know, she's a Cowboys fan. But we pulled through, man, and that's all good, Shasky. And I sent you that DM, man, of my little son, man, America Kenyon, ain't not you.
Bro,
he went off.
He was going crazy.
270-yarders, he picked six to the house, and he threw a bomb. So
damn.
I'm just a proud father, man, and I'm happy for my son, man. Go Niners.
JW, real quick. What if I told you in 2019, 2021, 2022, and 2023 that Shanahan and the 49ers are 24-7 in the month of November and December, in those 2 months? What if I told you that? Because it is true and it's accurate. Does that make you feel better moving forward?
It kind of do, but at the end of the day, man, the end of the season, it all counts in February.
I hear you. Hey, look, you got to get to February, you got to get through November and December.
That's why we got to start stacking these wins. Let's go Niners.
Let's
there
go.
It is. There it is.
I love that.
There it is. I mean, this is separation time in the NFL. Week 7, week 8, you start to flip the calendar to November. It's separation time. You start to separate the chumps from the chumps. And there's a lot of chumps out here in the NFL. I think the Seahawks are chumps. I think Tampa Bay Buccaneers are chumps. We know the Panthers are chumps.
What about the Cowboys?
Oh, chumps. I mean, nobody's worried about the Cowboys. Like, no. Actually, full disclosure.
Okay.
I wanted to bet the four. I wanted to slam the 49ers yesterday. I wanted to. But I'm trying to save some money here. I wanted to slam it. Honestly,
you were not willing to put your money where your mouth was.
Weird things happen.
He's building all that money in that stock that he has in Andrew Wiggins right now. All right. Just worry about that.
Want to, you know,
August 8th is what I said by the stock. Hopefully, August 8th, I bought the stock and it was at an all time low. And boy, Andrew Wiggins has not disappointed me. Double digit rebounds in the first half against the Utah Jazz. Career high for him. 13 rebounds, a career high for Andrew Wiggins.
Three-point shot looks really good.
Really good. 29 points yesterday, 20 in the second half. The activity, the energy level.
The only question I have on the Warriors outside of Steph Curry's injury is, are we sure Kuminga and Wiggins can coexist simultaneously? I'm talking about thrive simultaneously. It feels like either or. And to me, I think Kuminga needs to be the backup four.
Oof. The question I have with Kuminga, because he's a smart player, the contract league rate, I think, is a thing. Him not getting the extension, he's a restricted free agent. And we think about what Jeter said when it comes to arbitration, like, oh, you took me to arbitration? And there's nasty things that get said in these arbitration meetings. We heard from Corbin Burns about it, who's now with the Baltimore Orioles. He's a restricted free agent, Jonathan Kuminga. And Steve Kerr wants to push this pace and play .5 basketball. Can Jonathan Kuminga play .5 basketball? Because one thing I noticed out of stretch yesterday, and it's early, and he hasn't been in many situations like this, but there's a lot of indecisiveness down the stretch with that lineup. And Jonathan Kuminga, whether to drive the basketball with a wide open lane or take a three, it's something to monitor moving forward.
He gripped a big offensive rebound. It was like a one possession game. And then kicks the ball to Pajemski, which was the right play, passed up the three-pointer, and then Pajemski kicks it right back to him for a wide-open three. He bricks it. Then I think the next play down after the Clippers scored, he took like a midi in the lane fadeaway and just clanked it as well. And I'm thinking, it just feels like each miss kind of zaps a little bit of his confidence, and I'm rooting for the guy. I think he's in a tough spot.
He's pressing a bit right now.
But here's the thing. Like, he's not worth $40
million. $40 million a year?
He's just not. He's not, B.
Like, the Warriors are smart not to give the deal. I get the Warriors' position. Let's just wait a minute. We got our books in order. There's no need to panic and just give out a bunch of money here. Let's not do that right now.
I mean, they did that with Jordan Poole, and they immediately regretted it.
Right. Well, you know, I don't know if they regretted it. Things happened.
No, they regretted it.
You know, and they moved on. You know, Jordan Poole's a fine player. But anyway, but Kuminga is pressing a little bit. There's no doubt. I think Pajimski is pressing a little bit right now, and he'll get better. But without Stephen Curry over here, it makes guys have to step up. It forces guys to step up. So I'm eager to see what happens over the next two home games against the Pelly Pals. The Pelicans, who really had the Warriors' number last season. They really took it to the Warriors at Chase Center last season. Remember, the end of the season, they blew them out of the gym. So Kuminga's got to be a little bit better. Pajimski's got to be a little bit better. They're going to have to do this possibly without Steph Curry as we await the MRI later on today. 888-957-9570. We can talk a little Warriors today if you want to. We can talk some Warriors, but we're heavy on the Niners. You saw what happened with Trayvon Diggs after the game?
I did.
Mike Leslie is the reporter from...
He does a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, he's a sports anchor at WFAA in Dallas. Voice of Friday Night Football. Cowboys, Mavs, Rangers, Stars, play-by-play announcer. And he sent the tweet out yesterday about, you know, on the big play with George Kittle, 43-yarder, what is Trayvon Diggs doing on this play? And Trayvon Diggs is running with Chris Conley. Then it looks like he's kind of jogging. He's not really giving you maximum effort. So he tweeted about that. Well, Trayvon Diggs, shortly after getting to the locker room after the Cowboys lost 30-24, I guess he ran straight to his phone, looked at Twitter, or got it. Or what could have happened is somebody sent him a text message like, look at this guy. And maybe there's some history with this guy.
He's still in uniform.
He's still in full uniform. Full uniform. Comes out in the hallway and does this to the reporter.
Now that whole play, that's what you took from that? You don't know football. You can't do nothing that I do. You can't go out there and do nothing. Stay in your lane, buddy. Stop playing me, bro.
Just asking a question, Trayvon. I mean, I'm happy to have you answer the question.
Now that whole play, that's what you took from that? That's what you got from that? That whole play, that's what you got from that?
I'm asking.
We can talk about it more. What were you doing then?
Well, and you heard what he said at the end. I think you edited it out, did you? He basically said, what were you doing there? And what did Trayvon basically use a Snoop Dogg line from Doggy Style? Deez! You can fill in the blank. Deez!
Here's where I struggle with these ones. I don't know the history between the two of them, but that doesn't feel like a one-off.
No, there's some history there.
Right?
Like, there's some history there.
There clearly is some testiness back and forth. I don't know, but this obviously set him off for whatever reason. But stepping back, isn't this a microcosm of how Jerry Jones operates his entire
team.
Organization?
It kind of speaks volumes on what the team is all about.
Zero accountability, worried about the wrong things. I mean, Trayvon, like, I think it's easy for everyone to blast Trayvon Diggs. Like, dude, worry about what's going on the field. But again, I do want to know. There's got to be more between him and this reporter.
Well, Mike Leslie tweeted out after the game, Trayvon just came out of the locker room to approach me about this tweet. He said, I didn't know football, and I can't do what he does. He and I are in agreement about that. He didn't offer an answer as to what he was doing on the play, however. Then later on, he says, I do not have a comment about these. Then he was asked, I've been asked by my bosses at WFAA to provide a little context for this tweet because they don't want people thinking I just randomly tweet things like this. That's fair. That's not exactly a common phrase for me, as you might imagine. The context. And he sent the video out again and all that stuff. So,
you know, seeing how people talk online and how people... there's a lot of blurred line. This guy works on TV, so I don't know. I don't know what his coverage looks like.
I don't know what's going on.
But just look at the Niner coverage.
Maybe we hear from RJ Shaw. Maybe they touch on it.
Look at the Niner coverage. Is the coverage all over the map when it comes to there's homerism, there's middle of the road, there's extreme criticism?
It's right.
No, like we can assess this. Like,
it is.
The landscape is vast.
It is a wild scene.
Okay, so now
it never ceases to amaze me.
That's what
goes
I'm saying.
On that beat.
Purdy could throw a 2-yard checkdown, and it is viewed so many ways and I'm talking about people who cover the team.
Oh, I know. Elitism.
Then
I mean,
you throw
like
in the content creators, and then there's the fans.
You know, I saw a tweet.
So I mean, like, I know, I'm surprised this doesn't happen more in sports.
Well, Travis Ward had something to say about a reporter yesterday, and I'll just leave it at that.
And I know there's some back and forth there.
Yeah, and the reporter got called a lame ass dude. I would prefer players not even engage, but again, we're in a day and age where reporters got to hold themselves accountable for things that they say. They have to. I have to. You have to.
Oh, yeah.
I watch what I say. Like, it is there. And so, the funniest thing I saw, Grinnell misses the block on the pass protection. Purdy gets folded.
Dude, I got really worried. He took a shot. I'm laughing. We're okay. He took a shot.
And I saw a reporter tweet that just shows that was such an elite play by Brock Purdy to hold on to the football. It's just Brock Purdy held on to the football. It's elite that he held. Like, you're right. The coverage is all over the place.
Ball. The people that are covering it, they'll tell you. They just know more football than you.
That guy needs to put the phone down and go walk around and breathe some air. Like, this is where the internet, I do believe there are certain, and we all know people in our family. There's an uncle, an aunt who's like obsessed with like the comment section of Facebook, or a kid who's obsessed with TikTok or whatever. The blurred lines between people not being able to put their phone down and like go experience real life is out of control. We all, and I'm guilty to a degree. I admit it. I'm guilty. Like, we got to put our phones down. Everyone, everybody.
Well, I mean,
as I put, Miss Rachel in front of my son for hours on end as I watch football on the couch.
Yeah, there's a lot going on there.
I'm not one to talk.
There's a lot going on there.
Look at Elmo and Miss Rachel.
There's a lot going on there, man. But, you know, I can't wait for Jerry Jones to be on RJ's shot. They're a mess.
8:30 tomorrow.
Cowboys are an absolute mess.
Did you hear that they got the Jones family bus got, it was the weirdest story. It got in this big accident. We could get into it on the other side. In fact, I think there's some injuries.
Yeah, there are.
It's time for the injury report.
That really hurts.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
David Fresno's on the line. Man, I can't wait to hear what he has to say today.
Oh, my gosh!
Oh, my gosh. What does he think about the Shanahan-led Niners going 24-7 in the months of November and December 2019, 21, 22, 23? Are we on another run here? Last year, a combined 7-1. The year before, 7-0. The year before that, 5-3. 2019, 5-3. The last 2 years are combined. Wow. Last 2 years combined 14-1 in the months of November and December. All right. Discussed this, and we discussed this. I'm a little worried. I am worried. I do get worried when it comes to this. But Steph's going to have an MRI today. Now, Steve Kerr after the game said it was a moderate to mild ankle sprain as he rolled the left ankle late in the third quarter. He started stretching it, came back into the game, and then at the 8-minute mark, did it again, twisted his ankle, and he hobbled off the floor in a 112-104 loss to the LA Clippers last night. So he tried to play through it in the fourth quarter, did it again, twisted the ankle. So again, mild to moderate left ankle sprain. Steve Kerr didn't think it was serious, but more information will be provided today as Stephen Curry, I think he underwent an MRI last night, or the news will come out today about the MRI. So anyway, we're on ankle watch when it comes to Stephen Curry and the Golden State Warriors. That was the injury report brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. 888-957-9570 is the number. 888-957-9570. What do you rate Shanahan? What do you have to say about Shanahan today? Like his game plan? Didn't like his game plan?
Possibly.
Little worried about the defensive collapse late in the game. They did step up when the chips were against them, up six. They made it a little more dramatic than it had to be. 888-957-9570 is the number. How would you assess that win yesterday over the hated Dallas Cowboys? That is coming up here on The Roast.
That's a Sackaroonie, baby.